The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
This is Grace in Focus. Thank you for joining us. What does Acts 26:20 say about repentance and salvation? This is the story about King Agrippa. Does it teach that repentance is necessary to possess and to maintain eternal salvation? Hey, this is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for being here today. We will have some answers for you in just a moment after we encourage you to go to our website, faithalone.org, to learn more about us. You can find many resources and you can read our daily blogs there at faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Ken Yates.
Bob, we have a question from Brian, a question about Acts chapter 26, verse 20, and the reason he asks it is because he said he went to church and the pastor, who is Reformed, was speaking on Acts 26. And when he got to verse 20, he camped on it. That's Brian's words here. Paul says, but declared, he's speaking to King Agrippa, I declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance.
Right.
He says the pastor said that repentance then is necessary for salvation, and here he means eternal salvation, and he also said that repentance needs to be maintained throughout one's life. So I'm assuming that what the pastor was saying is that if you're really saved, you'll repent of your sins at the beginning of your Christian experience, and you will demonstrate that you truly believe by continuing to repent throughout one's life. So that's what this pastor got from this verse. And he said, Brian says, I'd like some insight on this.
Okay. Well, Brian, here's one thing. Whenever you have a verse, you want to look at the context, because a verse without a context is a pretext. It's a pretext to impose your theology on the listener. What you've done is pulled out a short little summary statement that Paul's making about one aspect of his ministry. It's obviously Paul didn't simply preach repentance, right? When asked, what must I do to be saved? He doesn't say anything about repentance. He says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. But how about looking, could we say two verses earlier in the context? He gives his testimony. If you have a red letter edition, which I have here in front of me, he's talking about how he came to faith on the road to Damascus, not how he came to repentance on the road to Damascus. And it ends by saying, well, maybe you could read, maybe starting in 17.
Verse 17.
These are the words of the Lord Jesus.
These are the words of the Lord. I will deliver you from the Jewish people, he's talking to Paul, as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you. So this is the Lord sending Paul.
Who's now a believer.
Right. To open their eyes in order to...
Notice, to open their eyes.
Right.
That's a belief idea.
Right. That you see the truth.
Right.
Now you're convinced of the truth. In order to turn them from darkness to light.
Okay, now there would be a repentance aspect of this.
Well, could you say it was both in the sense that you're
well, you're in the darkness in terms of non-faith to faith,
right,
but you're also, you could be also
sure.
The other way. So it would probably be both here, yeah.
And from the power of Satan to God.
Right.
That they may receive forgiveness of sins.
Yeah.
And an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me.
Wait for it. How are they sanctified?
By faith in me.
Now, there's three types of sanctification in the New Testament. There's present sanctification, which is basically the Holy Spirit attempting to move us, and if we cooperate, we're becoming more and more and more like Christ. That's present sanctification. There's future sanctification. What do we call future sanctification?
Glorification.
Because there's a coming time.
Right.
When we're no longer going to sin, we'll be
right.
Set free from sin.
We will no longer have the flesh.
But there's also a past sanctification, and that's what this is talking about. The word sanctify, hagiazo, or the verb hagiazo, or the noun hagias, means to be set apart. So really, a saint is one who has been set apart into God's family. They're a child of God. Here, it's talking about past sanctification. who are sanctified. That is, they have been set apart and they remain set apart.
Not will be sanctified or are being sanctified.
No.
They are sanctified.
By faith in me.
By faith.
It's not by works. How is it this guy's going to camp on repentance in verse 20? Was he saying that that's a condition of everlasting life?
Is Paul saying that's how I was saved, by repentance?
Well, Paul just said it was by faith.
Right.
And now Paul's contradicting himself. How does this fit with Ephesians 2, 8, and 9? By grace you have been saved through
faith.
Repentance? No, it's faith, isn't
it? And as we all know, the word faith, believe, occurs around 100 times in the Gospel
of
John. And
the repentance, Lord Jesus never mentions repentance in the Gospel of John.
Right.
He never says he who repents has everlasting life, but he says over and over again, he who believes in me has everlasting life.
You are invited to subscribe to the Grace Evangelical Society's YouTube channel. You will find our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday videos there, enlightening and encouraging, and even probably humorous at times if you like Bob Wilkins humor. Indeed, you will get biblical truth about free grace themes, like faith alone for eternal salvation, and why the Grace Evangelical Society is zero-point Calvinistic. We come your way 3 times a week at the Grace Evangelical YouTube channel. Check it out and tell a friend about the Grace Evangelical Society.
How about 1 Timothy 1:16? Paul says, I'm an example of those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life.
Believe. He doesn't say anything about repent for
it. I got another question. Repentance doesn't occur in the Gospel of John, right? How many times does it occur in the book of Galatians? Do you know?
Galatians,
which is Paul's defense of his gospel, right?
Yeah.
He's talking about the false gospel of the Judaizers and the true gospel of justification by faith alone apart from works. How many times does he mention repentance? That would be correct.
That's
zero.
Right. I gave the okay sign.
Zero. Yeah. He never once, in Galatians 2:16, 3 times, he says, a man is justified by faith in Christ, and 3 times he says, a man is not justified by works of the law. Never mentions repentance. Well, never.
Yeah, what we see here, if Paul is, as this Reformed pastor says, saying you need to repent and keep repenting, the Gospel of John does a lousy job of telling us the gospel of eternal life.
Well, so does the entire New Testament.
Sure.
Because here's the picture. First of all, in order to be born again, it's simply believing. It's by faith alone. How can he be a Reformed theologian and not believe in justification by faith alone? How can it be by faith plus repentance if it's by faith alone? Answer, he does not believe in Reformed theology.
Right. Now, he's going to explain it, I'm assuming, something like this. Well, true faith includes repentance.
That's the old Calvinist.
Sure.
But the new Calvinists come right out and say, for example, Schreiner and Kennedy in their book, The Race Set Before Us, they say you get initial salvation by faith alone apart from works, and you get final salvation by persevering in the Christian race until the end of your life, and you win the prize, which they call everlasting life. I believe the picture is on page 40 of The Race Set Before Us, and they say the prize is everlasting life.
And notice the title, The Race.
Right.
It's something that is not free. It's that is difficult.
And John Piper, famous Calvinist who calls himself jokingly a seven-point Calvinist, he speaks of initial salvation by faith alone and final salvation that requires perseverance and good works.
And that's where the repentance would come in.
Here's the point. Does the Bible teach you need to repent your whole life? Read my book, Turn and Live, The Power of Repentance. What I show there is this. Yes, Paul called unbelievers to repent. Acts 17:30. God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. And of course, John the Baptist called believers and unbelievers to repent in Israel. And the Lord Jesus did as well. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom won't come until Israel is a nation in fellowship with God. But one thing a lot of people get wrong is that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, first of all, you're eternally secure. You don't need to keep on repenting to stay eternally secure, right?
It has nothing to do with it.
But secondly, if you're in fellowship with God, you remain in fellowship with God as long as 1 John 1:7, you're walking in the light, and 1 John 1:9, you're confessing your known sins. Repentance is not mentioned in 1 John. And 1 John, the purpose, according to 1 John 1:3 and 4, is fellowship with God. The way we maintain fellowship with God is not by ongoing repentance. I remember talking to Zane Hodges about this, and he suggested, and I think he's right. Y'all listen to this. I know you're probably going to think I'm nuts here, but I agree with Hodges. He thought a person could go for years, maybe decades, in fellowship with God without ever needing to repent.
Just confess.
Right, because if you're going to church in a solid Bible-teaching church, you're walking in the light of God's revelation, and you're acknowledging your sins as God brings them to you. Look at Luke 15 and the prodigal son. He doesn't need to repent when he's with the Father. He needs to repent when he goes to the far country.
And the 99 sheep and the 9 coins.
They don't need repentance. They don't. Most commentators say that that's ironic.
Yeah.
That all 100 need repentance.
Yeah.
But the 99 think they don't need
repentance. They're like the Pharisees who don't think they need to.
But Jesus is the one who says they don't need
repentance. They don't need to repent.
And he says they're righteous. Are there or are there not people in the New Testament that are called righteous? For example, in Luke 1, both Elizabeth and Zacharias, the two parents of John the Baptist, are both called righteous.
And we've never talked about this, but I'm kind of curious to know what you think, Bob. Paul says he preaches repentance.
He did.
Not for eternal life, and that's your point.
Right.
But let me ask you a question.
Now, it could be something that makes an unbeliever open to hearing the saving message, and it could be something that the believer who's out of fellowship is going to respond and get back in fellowship.
But the other thing is, when a person first believes, that's how they receive eternal life. Would you say that every new believer needs to repent?
No.
Not for eternal life, obviously, but you're coming from an unbelieving lifestyle.
It doesn't matter, because according to Acts 10:43, whoever believes in him receives the forgiveness of sins.
Oh, yeah, you
start the Christian life with a clean slate. When I was on staff with Crusade, one time one of our exercises was, they said, take a sheet of paper and write down every sin you can remember, and then write down forgiven. And you were supposed to write down that I'm forgiven for all these things. I've confessed them. I'm forgiven. Well, we don't need to do that.
Right.
We certainly don't need to do that for sins before we were born again.
In fact,
Campus Crusade would say, don't go back from before you were born again, because those are already taken care of.
Right.
Does the brand new believer need to repent? I would say no. Now, it gets tricky, because let's say you have a brand new believer that's got a whole host of sins. I mean, that would be all of them, right?
Right.
How is it that they grow? Well, they sit under solid Bible teaching. They're walking in the light. They begin to grow, and they confess those sins, and confession has within it, I don't want to repeat that.
Okay.
But that's not, I wouldn't call that repentance. John doesn't in 1 John.
Right. Brian, we hope that helped you in your discussions.
And I hope I didn't get too agitated here. This subject really gets me going. Whenever anybody says justification is by faith alone, so if you just repent and believe, you'll be justified. Well, wait a minute. In this case, if you just repent and believe your whole life, then you're going to...
And keep repenting.
That stuff drives me absolutely bonkers nuts.
It's a view that ignores grace, and remember,
keep grace in focus.
We invite you to check out our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday 5-minute YouTube videos at YouTube Grace Evangelical Society. You will love the content and learn a lot. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. On the next episode, what does it mean to be in fellowship with God? Does it require both confession and repentance? Join us next time. Until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.